The words of God given to us today is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to verse 50. The words given to us today is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to verse 50. Allow me to read the words. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt to forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. There is a movie called Blind Side. The dictionary meaning of blind side is a side you can't see well, particularly a zone that is not seen very well when a vehicle or other dangerous object is coming at you. It can also mean weakness, and in American football, the most important position is the quarterback who leads the offense. A blind side is a zone that the quarterback cannot see. The term, at the same time, also can mean a person or an event that the wider society cannot perceive or is ignoring. The movie, which came out in 2009, is based on a true story of an American football player. Michael, an African-American boy, age 17, is called a Big Mike because of his heft. He grew up in various foster homes in Tennessee because his mom was a drug addict. Each time he was placed at a home, however, he would sneak back to his mother. Michael had an IQ of 80 and had learning disability, but he had outstanding athletic abilities. After many happenings, he was able to attend Wingate Christian School, which was a private Christian school. At the school, he became a friend with a young boy named Sean Tioe Jr., known as SJ. SJ's father, Sean, was the head of the food business company, and his mom, Leanne, the lead character in the movie, was a Christian and an interior designer, and who has a warm and strong heart. And SJ had a sister, Collins, who was a volleyball player at the school and a cheerleader. One day, Leanne and Sean watched their daughter, Collins, volleyball game at the school and saw Michael picking up food left among the bleachers after the game. And soon after, as they were coming home from the middle school Thanksgiving pageant, they saw Michael wandering in the streets in a short-sleeved shirt despite the cold weather. The couple asked Michael where he lived, and Michael answered that he stays at the gymnasium because it is warm there. The couple took Michael home. There was no bed at their home that was big enough for him, so they made up a sofa for him to sleep on. Michael felt warmth that he had not felt before. The next morning, the couple worried that perhaps Michael had run away with a couple of things at their home, but Michael had left their home after neatly folding the sheets and blankets he had slept on. Leanne then decided to take Michael in as a member of her family. At the end of the year, Leanne sent a family picture with Michael in it as her family's Christmas cards. A lot of people were surprised. A relative called to ask, "Did you know that there was a black person in the Christmas card?" Leanne's friends jokingly, half-jokingly, said that Michael and Leanne were like King Kong and the woman protagonist. They commented that Leanne was doing a great thing by providing a place for Michael to sleep and changing his life. But Leanne said, with all seriousness, that he is changing her life. When her friends sarcastically asked, "Don't you worry about your daughter, Colleen, when you are living with such a huge black guy?" Leanne got up and left after telling them to be ashamed of themselves. Michael, when he first joined the school's football team, didn't play very well, but became increasingly good at it. In particular, he had an unusual protective instinct. And after hearing from Leanne that he should think of his teammates as his family who should be protected, he improved by leaps and bounds. In American football, the most important position is quarterback. The next important position is the left tackle, the blind side that Michael played. The most important mission of a left tackle is to protect a quarterback. And so in the movie, the saying, "I got your back," is repeated at each important climax of the movie. When Michael meets the academic requirements and shows outstanding promise as a football player, colleges from all over the nation wanted to recruit him. Michael decided that he would go to Mississippi State University, where Leanne and her husband graduated from. But NCAA examiner wanted to investigate whether Leanne and her husband exerted undue influence on Michael to make him choose Mississippi State University. The examiner was worried that allowing Michael to be scouted to Mississippi State would set a precedent for rich Southern sponsors becoming legal guardians of young players who have outstanding talents but are poor to scout them to their schools. Michael, upon hearing this, makes mistaken assumptions about the couple's motives. However, Leanne tells Michael that, "We told you to go to Mississippi State because it's a good school And Sean said that it would be good for you to go to Tennessee State if you want, because you will get a scholarship. And no matter what school you choose to go, I will go to all of your games to cheer you. Everything is up to you, and it's your life. Michael later tells the examiner, "You never once asked me why I tried to go to Mississippi State." "The reason I wanted to go there is because my family went there and will be going there." Leanne's daughter, Colin, had decided to go to Mississippi State too. Later, Michael joined the Mississippi State's football team, became a member of the national team at Mississippi State, and became a professional football player with Baltimore Ravens. Now, John the Baptist was born as a son of a priest and could have had many entitlements had he become a priest, but so that he could live a life befitting of his calling to prepare the way of the Lord, he gave up privileges he could have had. He wore clothes made of camel's hair and ate wild honey and lived in a cave, a wilderness. He went as far as not eating at banquets and not drinking any wine. He lived such an ascetic life so that he could emphasize the urgency of repenting and accepting the Lord in order to gain eternal life and become a citizen of heaven. It was not a time to eat and drink in complacency. But the Pharisees and scribes presumed that he was possessed by a spirit. Their response to what he was doing was that there was no way that a person would live the way John did unless the person was possessed. Now, on the other hand, Jesus ate and drank often with people. Further, he ate and drank with people like tax collectors, who were shunned by people, and with persons who were labeled as sinners. Jesus did so in order to announce that a new age, a new kingdom had come. No matter how lowly a person is, he or she could not be barred from becoming a citizen of heaven. There was no exception. But Pharisees and scribes scorned Jesus by saying, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." The New Standard Translation Bible translates this passage in a very realistic way. That person is a hog, a boozer, and is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees belonged to a group which was highly respected by people at the time, but they were really good at hiding their falsity, hypocrisy, and hollowness. They hid their insides that were rotten by wrapping themselves with legalism. They pretended to be righteous on the outside, and so Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs. And because Jesus protected people whom they had judged to be sinners, Jesus was like a thorn in their eyes. In today's text too, a Pharisee makes an appearance. This is from verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. At the time, Pharisees regarded Jesus with enmity, but this one Pharisee invited Jesus to a banquet. It was really an unusual thing to have happened under the circumstances. Because of this, this Pharisee seems a bit different, at least on the surface, from other Pharisees. But Then something which wasn't expected happens at the banquet. This is from verse 37. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. A woman who is a sinner, came to Pharisee's house uninvited. Most biblical scholars interpret this saying as the woman being a prostitute. A Pharisee at the time was a person who studied and taught the law, similar to a priest or a professor of seminary, if you were to think in today's terms. So, if we were to express verse 37 in today's terms, it would be like a professor of a seminary had invited his fellow professors, pastors, and seminary students to his home for dinner, and a woman who is a professional streetwalker barges in. This situation is so confounding. The verse 37 starts with the expression idu, meaning and look. Now these words have not been translated in Korean Bible. These words are also found in chapter 1 of Matthew's at the passage where the messenger of God appears to Joseph to tell him that Mary will conceive a child by the work of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph should not be afraid to bring Mary home. The messenger says, "Look, virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Here, the word look is the same word that appears in verse 37 of today's text. How surprised Joseph must have been to hear what the messenger of God had to say to him. So it was also a shocking thing for a prostitute to have appeared at a house of a Pharisee. That the woman had entered the house of a Pharisee was itself a surprising and a shocking thing, but what flustered people even more was how Jesus reacted. It shocked people that Jesus didn't say or do anything to stop or get rid of the woman, although Jesus knew that the woman was standing behind him. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his home then muttered to himself as follows. This is from verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." The Pharisee thought that if Jesus was a prophet, as many were saying, and if Jesus knew what kind of person the woman who was standing behind him was, then Jesus couldn't just sit there. At the time, rabbis taught that a man must be separated from a woman by 4 cubits, which is approximately 1.8 meters or more. This Pharisee thought that when the simple woman approached Jesus, even if he wasn't aware of it at first, should have told her to get back the moment he became aware of her. But Jesus did not say a word. If Jesus had yelled at her, "Where do you think you are at?" and sent her back, then the Pharisee who invited him and other Pharisees might have thought that Jesus could possibly be a prophet. Jesus at last spoke. This is from verse 40. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. The name of the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to his home was Simon. At the time, the name Simon was one of very common names. There were two Simons, even among Jesus' disciples. Even though Simon the Pharisee did not openly ask Jesus, Jesus had already read his mind. Using Socratic method, Jesus told Simon, he had a question to ask him and told Simon a story. There were two persons who owed money to a moneylender. One person owed him 500 denarii, and the other person owed 50 denarii. At the time, one denarian was a daily wage of a laborer. Today, a worker in Korea works 247 days, and the average annual wage in Korea is about 40 million won. Then the person who owed 500 denarii would have owed 2 years' worth of wages, about 80 million won. And the person who owed 50 denarii owed 2 months' wages, about 6 million or 7 million won. Jesus then asked, but if the moneylender knew that neither had the means to repay, so told both of them that they do not have to repay their debt, then who would love the moneylender more? And Simon then said, I think it would be the person who had the greater amount of debt forgiven. Jesus then said, this is from verse 47, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. What Jesus was saying was that the woman was better than Simon. In other words, Simon, who is proud that he is a Pharisee, is actually less than the woman who had sinned. It's difficult to understand this saying of Jesus. Today's text does not say that the Simon the Pharisee was immoral or committed some bad acts. And it does not say that the woman who had sinned had put an end to her sinful way of life and had been living a faithful and holy life for a long time. But Jesus answered Simon, that way, so that he let Simon know that he was speaking from the perspective of having one's sins forgiven. In other words, if a person does not know the love of God or the forgiveness of the Lord, then even if such person lives a good life and is respected by people, such person is not in a right relationship with God. And to the contrary, the person who accepts the love of God and the forgiveness of the Lord is in the right relationship with God. And so even if we have not achieved much, do not have a lot, or have little learning, if we know the love of God and the forgiveness by the Lord and accept them, then we are in the right relationship with God. To the contrary, if we do not know the love of God and reject the forgiveness of the Lord, in other words, we do not admit that we are sinners, then no matter how proud we are of living rightly and are admired by others, we are not in the right relationship with God if we do not accept the forgiveness by the Lord. What Jesus is saying is not that it's okay for us to live a sinful life like the woman. He is complimenting her for acknowledging that she is a sinner. This is how the Bible testifies as to the woman coming to Jesus. This is from verse 37 and 38. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now, Jesus sat down after being invited to the house of Simon the Pharisee. The woman who was living a sinful life, if she was a streetwalker who engaged in prostitution, then it would not have been easy for her to come to the house of the respected Pharisee. Perhaps because of this, she did not stand before Jesus, but knelt behind him near his feet. It may be the case that this woman had met Jesus before. After Jesus had spoken of the two debtors who had their debts forgiven, he points to her and says, "Her many sins have been forgiven." And he says it in past tense. We don't know when it happened, but Jesus had seen her not as a sinner to be shunned, but as a person in need of redemption. Further, she had brought an alabaster jar of perfume. She probably would not have prepared an alabaster jar for someone she was seeing for the first time. So it seems that this woman, after meeting Jesus for the first time, firmly resolved to see Jesus again. And so despite the criticism she would face and the dangers in doing so, she went into the house of the Pharisee with courage. At the time, Jewish people didn't eat sitting down. Almost always they reclined to eat, and the head was supported by the left arm. And to make it easier for the arm, the cushions and pillows and things like that were placed under the arm. And the right hand was used for eating. And the woman in the beginning stood behind Jesus near his feet so as not to disturb the meal. But at some point, tears started flowing from her eyes. We don't know whether the crying started as she entered the house or because she happened to meet the eyes of Jesus as she came near him. But she couldn't do anything to stop her tears. The tears that flowed uncontrollably were enough to wash wet Jesus' feet. And she dried Jesus' feet with her hair. Then she broke open the alabaster jar and poured the perfume on his feet. Now imagine this scene in your head. There's something very symbolic about the scene. The woman is kneeling down behind Jesus' feet. That a person kneels down before another is to lower oneself to the lowest level. And in some ways, it is insulting for the person who is kneeling. And this woman wiped Jesus' feet with her hair and poured perfume on them. Perfume was extremely expensive back then. Most people collected perfume drop by drop. The price of perfume that Mary poured on Jesus' feet, as told in chapter 12 of John, was more than 300 denarii, an amount that is more than a man's yearly wages. The Bible does not say how much the perfume this woman had poured on Jesus' feet is worth, but it's probably not some cheap kind that sold at streets, a fake one that had just a bit of fragrance. The 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15 says, "If a woman has long hair, it is an honor to her." Now, this woman placed the most honored part of her on the part of a person which is most soiled. And on top of that, she poured the most precious thing that she had on them. When we place what we considered most worthy and precious beneath the feet of Jesus, our lives take on meaning, and such act becomes our joy. In watching all this, Simon the Pharisee, the owner of the house, thought this. This is from verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Simon, the Pharisee, only regarded the woman as a sinful woman. He should have thought about what made her live such a life. What had happened to her? But Simon did not do that. And so Jesus asked him, after telling him the story of two persons who had their debts forgiven, as to who would love more. Simon had only focused on the fact that the woman had many sins. But Jesus changed the focus to the question of who would love more. Jesus' question changed the focus from the woman to Simon. So Jesus turned from the woman and said this to Simon. This is from verses 44 and 46. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." At the time, if a Jewish person invited a person over to his house, and the person came, the person kissed the guest as a sign of welcome and had the guest's feet washed by a servant. Judea was a dry region, and because people wore sandals, their feet were constantly getting dirtied. So when a guest came, the owner of the house had a servant bring water and wash the guest's feet. Even if a servant did not wash the feet of the guest, at least water was brought to the guest for him to wash his feet. And before eating, the owner of the home would pour oil on the head of the guest to signify that the visiting guest was an honorable person. David confessed in Psalm 23 that the Lord had prepared a table before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here, he is expressing that he is being highly honored at a banquet given by God. Simon the Pharisee did not do any of these things. He had not asked Jesus to come because he respected him. And he had not invited Jesus to hear his words. This Simon was no different from other Pharisees who criticized John the Baptist as being possessed by a spirit and scorned Jesus as a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners, a person of that level. Then what would have made the woman act the way she did? It was probably because Jesus accepted her as she was. Every part of her life was probably like a blind side. But Jesus protected her so that her blind side became the side of forgiveness, the side of truth, and the side of life. Isn't it the same for us? Our lives were full of blind sides, but the Lord, who has conquered the world at his time and by his way, he came to each of us. He accepted each of us and has protected each of us so that our lives too turned into the side of forgiveness, the side of truth, and the side of life. If we accept this truth as being central, then let us now live as the pathways of the Lord which lead people who live the lives of blind sides to the side of forgiveness, truth, and life, in the same way that Lian's family did so for Michael. That would be the best evidence that we are living with the Lord who won over the world. It's not necessary to go far in order to be the pathway of the Lord and to reveal to the world that we're walking with the Lord. Actually, the person who is next to us, that very person, may be the person for whom we need to be the pathway of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, for a person who tries to live relying on his or her strength only, the life is always like a blind side. We also confess that no matter how we try, we cannot protect our lives based on our powers alone. Simon the Pharisee only thought of the woman who poured perfume on Jesus as a sinful woman who deserved judgment and all of her life as being a blind side. Yet, the Lord has called her as the one whose debts have been forgiven, a person who has received forgiveness. We confess that if we are honest with ourselves, we are like this sinful woman. We lived mired in secular values. We had in fact been dead because of our faults and sins. And yet, the Lord has come and protected us so that our eyes now look to the truth, the life, and eternity, and we're able to leave the zone of blind sight. Now, help us so that we will become your pathways who are able to lead those who stay in blind sights, those next to us, to the Lord, so that the lives of such persons will become the side of truth, forgiveness, and life. Father, last Monday, because of the earthquake that happened in Turkey, at the southern border with Syria, tens of thousands of people have lost their lives. We do not know how many people are trapped in debris. We pray that your hope and consolation will be with the victims of the earthquake and their families. We pray that you will add your wisdom, courage, and strength, you who have overcome the world, to the rescue workers from Turkey, Syria, and all of the world who are doing their best in bad conditions so that the rescue will happen without hindrance and as fast as possible. And we pray that you will add strength to the reconstruction efforts as well. May this prove to be an occasion which provides the starting point for the nations and the people who have suffered this disaster to regard you once again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.